You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
On Wednesday, a court hearing examining the case of a British MP denied entry to Canada opened in federal court in Toronto. The case concerns George Galloway, an elected member of the British government who was hoping to make a four-city speaking tour in March last year when Canadian immigration officials declared him inadmissible. Galloway was refused entry on the grounds that he was a supporter of terrorism for a convoy of aid that he took to Gaza from England in the same month that he sought entry to Canada. In November last year, a 66-page dossier of documents was mistakenly sent to Galloway's legal team, and it implicated high-level government officials in the decision to ban him from entering Canada. Catherine Atkinson was the first journalist to take a close look at those documents. Atkinson is news and features editor for Rabble.ca, and she's written a series of articles on the case, and she joins me this morning from her home in Squamish. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Now, part of the dossier of documents sent to Galloway's legal team is a series of emails. Who are the main players in those emails?
Well, essentially, the emails are between sort of three different places. One is the High Commission in London, who would have to deliver the bad news to George Galloway that he can't come into Canada. The second is would be the bureaucrats in Ottawa, various different departments, immigration, border agencies, border services, that sort of thing. And then the third, more maybe slightly surprising, emails are coming from the Office of Immigration Minister Jason Kenney, primarily from his Director of Communications, a guy called Alikhan Velshi.
Now, the emails are sent over the period from March 16th to March 19th last year. What's the significance of those 4 days?
Well, it all sort of kicked off March 16th when Mr. Velshi in the minister's office started putting out feelers in Ottawa, just saying, well, look, George Galloway's coming, and he supports Hamas, and that Hamas is a banned organization, and this is outrage. A journalist called me. This is what he says in the email. To ask me why we're letting this person into the country. Well, there's never been any indication of a journalist calling. There's never been any evidence of that. But this sort of gets a flurry of activity in Ottawa, and then eventually London gets involved over that period. The people in Ottawa essentially are trying to find a way to get to have Mr. Galloway banned. They're trying to figure out under what circumstances he can be banned, and eventually they come up with Section 34(1) of the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act of Canada.
Now, you say that they're trying to get him banned, and eventually they come up with this reason. That's quite a statement to make. It's not that is the reason, but that they're trying to do this, and here is their justification. What makes you make that strong a statement about it?
Well, the fact that the evidence that I have, okay, and if somebody comes up with different evidence, that's fine, is that the first emails are coming from Mr. Velshi, and then they go to officials in Ottawa. And when one man, Stephen LaRue, Stephane LaRue, when he comes back with this, the fact that he can be banned under 34(1), the response from Mr. Velshi is, thanks, that's quite copacetic, which it's very different from what what Jason Kenney said at the time, which was that there was no interaction. You know, his office was aware of what was going on, but there was no real interaction between his office and the officials, because it's not supposed to be a political decision, right? It's supposed to be a decision made by bureaucrats. With no interference.
So rather than the decision coming from the Canadian Border Services Agency and going to government, it's going the other way around, then that's the picture that emerges.
That's the picture that emerges. It certainly seems that way, and other things that happen subsequent to that seem to back that up.
Now, I had a look at the emails yesterday, and there's also some discussion about the media. What are their concerns about the media?
Well, what actually ends up happening is that this information about George Galloway being banned actually somehow is told to the political editor of the Sun newspaper, which is Rupert Murdoch's largest-selling newspaper in Britain, well, largest-selling daily, anyway. And the political editor goes to Mr. Velshi and says, yeah, we're going to publish... This is by this time, it's the 19th. We're going to publish this story that you're not letting in George Galloway, because George Galloway is a controversial guy in England as well, and this is sort of big news. He's never been banned, I believe, anywhere else except for Egypt, and that was Galloway accepts that in the sense that it's a dictatorship there. Galloway has often stated that he doesn't think that Canada should be doing something like this. It's supposed to be a democracy.
And Rupert Murdoch and George Galloway are of completely different political persuasions, I guess I could say.
Yeah, understatement of the year, yes.
Okay. We don't know how the story got to the Sun before it got to Galloway then?
No, and I actually contacted that journalist. He no longer works for the Sun. He's now a communications consultant, and he wouldn't tell me. I did try to follow numerous avenues about that, and then, you know, he's citing confidentiality, which journalists would cite, and I can't really argue with that because I would cite it myself under certain circumstances. So I just figured, you know, all I could do is be polite about it. The issue is the Sun went to press with this, okay, and the story came out on the 20th, and what that meant was that Galloway hadn't been informed yet. So it breaks all sorts of etiquette in a basic sense, and also it may have violated his rights under Canada's privacy laws. I mean, you know, the media is not supposed to be coming out with stories about people prior to them being officially notified by government of different, you know, whatever the issue may be. So I don't know how that's going to proceed. I interviewed Galloway this week, and he said that his lawyers were looking into it.
So if somebody is denied entry to Canada, then it is their decision whether to go to the media about that.
Well, I would assume that on one level, but it sounds, we don't know who told this reporter. There's no evidence of who told him, although one of the officials in London said under oath this year, in the run-up to the hearing this week, that it didn't come from his office. He believes it could have only come from Ottawa, that somebody from Ottawa would have tipped the Sun off. But, you know, who it could have been, we don't know.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the picture that emerges from the documents is quite different from the picture from what the government said at the time. What do we actually, what can we say that the government said about this at the time? What's on the record about that?
Well, there are a few contradictions even then. I mean, Mr. Velshi ended up being he's from the minister's office. He ended up stating in the emails that he wanted to be the only contact to speak to the media on this issue, and it looks like that's what happened. And he instructed the bureaucrats in London and in Ottawa that no one else was to speak about it to the media. So, I mean, it was being handled from his office anyway. Kenny was saying that he did not know what was happening behind the scenes. Now, to my experience, I've known a few directors of communications, to politicians of all stripes, and they're usually pretty tight with their ministers. I have no evidence. Mr. Kenny was never in writing any of these emails. He never directly received any of these emails. But his right hand man is very, very heavily involved in it. And at the time, Mr. Kenny was speaking publicly in interviews. You know, that it was, there's a pro- he was saying there's a process that you have to go through. I respect what our guys are doing. He had the right to overrule it. There was a TARP decision he could have made that would have allowed Galloway into the country, because Section 34 basically deals with terrorism. And Galloway was implicated in being a supporter of terrorism by giving aid to Hamas in the form of money and vehicles. And there was most of the aid convoy that he took early in March that year went to the Red Crescent, and a small amount went to the leadership in Palestine, in Gaza, because keeping in mind this was just after the bombardment. of Gaza by the Israelis at the end of 2008 and early 2009. So all of this was happening. And so the Canadian government said, well, he's a supporter of terrorism. Now, Mr. Galloway has said all along that he's always been a supporter of the Fatah Party, which is Yasser Arafat's party. And he said that he first met Yasser Arafat when he was about 23 years old, and he remained firm friends with him until Arafat's death, but he's never been a supporter of Hamas.
Was Jason Kenney referred to in the emails?
He was referred to in the emails in the sense that Mr. Velshi said that Mr. Kenney would not fight whatever decision was made. I mean, it looked like the decision was being led in a particular way. You know, that we were going towards the banning from the moment the email started flying, and Mr. Kenney is sort of related. He's mentioned in relation to that, that he would not overturn the work of the bureaucrats. He had no inclination to do that. It was pretty obvious. And also that was said by Mr. Velshi in media interviews at the time.
And what do we know of Mr. Velshi's political views that might have led him to really want George Galloway not to come into the country?
Well, he's known, like his boss, for being very ultra-conservative, very much a supporter of Israel without question. And quite combative. He comes across as quite a combative sort of guy, willing to have a scrap to get his views, to ensure that his views win out over other views. He's certainly a strong supporter of his boss.
Now, when this document, this kind of incriminating document, was sent by mistake to the wrong legal team,
yes,
the government then attempted to redact or censor parts of it. What can you tell me about that?
Well, there are hundreds of pages, and when I put the story together, I read most of them, I think. But at the core of it all are 66 pages, and they are the actual emails that we just talked about. 66 pages were accidentally mailed to Galloway's team. We don't know by whom. And Galloway's team was very, very happy to get them. And when the government's lawyers realized the mistake, they tried to get those pages redacted under national security, citing national security. The Galloway's lawyers had, of course, by then seen had opened the package and seen it and said, forget about it, that's not the case, and they contested it. And in January, the judge agreed with them. One page was redacted. We don't know for sure what was contained on that page, and a few headings were redacted that would have appeared throughout. I'm not exactly sure where they would have appeared. But these documents were presented this week at the hearing, and also these are what we saw, the rabble.ca saw.
Now, obviously, George Galloway wants to get his ban overturned and be able to come to Canada, and that is would be a significant outcome of this case. But what do you think is the most important thing that will come out of the case aside from that?
Well, redaction of documents is a very big issue for the Harper government right at the moment, and this is a very and it's astonishing to me that the mainstream media hasn't picked up on this just yet, and I hope they get their acts together and do so. But we have here an example of government trying to suppress information about an issue that seems to be simply embarrassing to them, maybe it'll cost somebody a job, I don't know, but comparing that to what's happening with the redaction of information on Afghan detainees, it's part of the whole process of hiding information that may or may not be of importance. I mean, I some documents will be redacted, but in this case, it just looks like they're using the process to be undemocratic, really.
So I guess between the redaction of the documents and the use of political influence, and there's a couple of things there, at least, that Canadians should be concerned about.
Sure. I mean, people don't have to like George Galloway, right? They don't have to they don't have to like the issues. They could be uncomfortable with his position, whatever. But where else is this happening? I mean, this shines a light on the bureaucracy's behavior, on the minister's office behavior. Where else is this happening? you know, this has been a bad week for the Harper government in terms of them trying to get their own way in the way they proceed with the way they govern Canada. And this, to me, is another example of that. And when I interviewed Galloway this week, he agreed. I mean, he's not super up to date on what's happening in Canadian politics. He's in the middle of a British election campaign. But the little he does know, it really troubles him, and he hopes that Canadians will look at it as a bigger issue, not just about George Galloway.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, Catherine.
Thank you, and thanks for your interest. I don't think the story is over by any stretch. The decision on the Galloway trial will be in about a month's time, and I look forward to seeing what the judge says.
Okay, and we'll direct people towards the website. Thanks again.
Yeah, please. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Catherine Atkinson. She's news and features editor at rabble.ca, and you can read her articles on the case at that same address, rabble.ca.